You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Jim Stannard grew up listening to the likes of Doc Watson, Bruce Springsteen, and Bob Dylan in Philadelphia in the mid-60s. He even sold his childhood coin collection to buy his first guitar, a Martin D28, which he still plays. Life got in the way and music went on hold. But 2 years ago, now in retirement, Jim recorded his first album. The experience was so enjoyable, he decided to do it again. Here we are 2 years later, talking about his new CD, Color Outside the Lines.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon.
Good to talk to you again. We got to speak a couple years ago, and you had your debut record out, Bucket List, and you are releasing your sophomore project. So it's exciting to catch up again and learn about your new music and what's been going on with your career and
stuff. I'm anxious to talk about it.
So for those that didn't get to listen the last time we talked, or maybe don't know who you are quite yet, tell me a little bit about you've got a little bit different journey than a lot of artists at least the recording aspect of your music career kind of started late in your career.
I grew up musically in the 60s and listened to live performances of Peter Paul Mary and Bob Dylan, went to Woodstock, and I played a lot of music back then. And then I just, life got in the way. In my mid-20s, I pretty much put the guitar in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And went about raising a family and embarking on a career. But I was, the whole time I'm still... was still a huge music fan, was listening, had songs playing in my head, but I really wasn't participating that much. And about a little over 10 years ago, when I retired from full-time work, I decided to pick up music seriously again and got a couple of fantastic instructors to... help get me back on track, and that resulted in putting an album together, my first album, about 2 years ago, called Bucket List, and when I had accumulated enough songs, I was ready to put out the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pre-COVID have enjoy playing live by myself, solo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing a bunch of songs and testing them out over the last couple of years, and I got a group that I was happy with, and went went through the process to put the second album together.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned getting some coaching help the first time around, and those folks were certainly no slouches in their own right. I remember reading at least one of them was, I think, with the band Winger, right?
Yeah, well, so, right.
Kip, maybe himself? So, yeah?
Yeah, Kip Winger from the band Winger, and who's Grammy-nominated classical composer.
Yeah.
Really has been my musical mentor. And over this newer period, and he... you know, produced the first album, has produced this album, has guided me every step of the way. And I've had a guy, I've become very good friends with Kip, and also good friends with John Skibic, who is the guitarist for the Afghan Whigs.
Right.
John... played guitar, did all the most of the electric guitar work on the first album and on the second album. So John's been integral in both of these projects.
So those relationships were not limited, so to speak, from your first album experience. You've been able to maintain friendships with these fellas along the way, then.
Yeah, and it really worked out. It wasn't really that we got together for the album. It was the other way around.
Okay.
I was working with them. Kip for a while. You know, Kip basically was my vocal coach,
mm-hmm.
and Kip was giving me input on songwriting. John Skibic was my guitar teacher, and you know we were. He was also giving me ideas around songwriting, and we've collaborated consistently. And when it came time to do an album, you know, Kip, I was very fortunate that Kip had the time to do it and was, would produce it and do it because I mean, he's so amazing at what he's able to do there. I don't know, where else I could have gotten anything
so the
quality that Kip has given.
Yeah. So the early part of your story, I can imagine, is not unlike a lot of people who in their youth have got the kind of time to piddle with guitar, play guitar, maybe play in garage bands or whatever kind of thing, and then encounter life and life gets in the way and you pursue career and family. And for a lot of people, that's where it stops. So what was the catalyst that pulled you back into the music world and brought you to the place where you wanted to pursue this professionally?
Well, I think two things. I always have been really liked music, and you know, even though I wasn't playing, I was listening intently. And so it was, you know, it sort of became some unfinished business for me. The other thing is I am, you know, passionate about the idea that you can learn new, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You can reinvent yourself. You can, be creative in retirement. Because I think a lot of it is, I really believe in the 10,000 hour principle, that it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition and work, and you got to put the work in, and you can learn and grow at new things. I think anybody can do that, and so I was ready for a challenge.
I read in your bio, and I don't know that we talked about this previously, but there's a quote from Dylan that you had mentioned. Was something special for you too. He not busy being born is busy dying.
Little Dylan quotes have just stuck in the corners of my brain, and
yeah.
that one I've carried with me since college.
And I think then you went on further to say that you like to weaponize your mistakes and failures and learn from those. Interesting and motivational concept. How did that enter your life as a way of moving forward with things?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur, and which is scary when you're starting a new business or something.
Yeah.
And, I didn't grow up as a particularly, high risk taker, I don't think I was, born an entrepreneur, but I learned how to do it. And, to be able to take risks in a business setting and take risks with your career, you've got to go in with a mindset that,
mm-hmm.
if you fail this time, that's just a learning experience. I mean, you got to go in prepared,
right,
to fail. And, so the music, I didn't know how well any of this was going to turn out. What I could have done was could have ended up being, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I put in the time, and I thought I'd take the risk and see how far I could take it. And at least my own bias too is I'm quite
yeah.
happy with the results.
Yeah, yeah. So 2 years ago, at a stage in your life which would be considered retirement age, you release your debut record. What was the post experience of that encouraged you to continue with this? You mentioned continuing to write songs and have enough of a catalog to do it again.
Just that I was playing a lot live. I mean, in local bar settings,
mm-hmm.
Or coffeehouse settings. That I wanted to write. I mean, I really, really got the bug to write songs, and I've done some co-writing, but I really, actually, am more comfortable writing by myself because I spend a long time on each song. I mean, I spend 6 months to a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Revising and playing with it and testing it, to an audience, and then going back and changing it around.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really what I was spending that intervening couple of years on. When it was only when I got enough songs and got enough energy to go through the process again and got Kip's agreement to do it again. And,
yeah.
We took a second shot, and I'm, frankly, I was quite happy with the first album. We got some, I got a fair amount of positive feedback, but it did not, sell well at
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
I got some good reviews, got some radio play. So, I mean, I got enough positive feedback that I considered it a first step. And I thought, okay, well, now that I learned, now that I've done it once, let's see if I can do it better the second time.
Yeah. Well, not selling well these days is not so much indicative of quality of product as it is sign of times, I'm afraid. It's people
yeah.
are less likely to purchase music, unfortunately, than they used to be. But I think we're in a time now where everything is changing and evolving. So maybe people will return to that. We certainly hope so. The new record is Color Outside the Lines. And I listened to most of it prior to our call, and it's got a very Spanish Western feel. I can almost hear some of those songs showing up in a John Wayne movie. Was that by design, or is that just the style and it didn't, was that on purpose?
I would say, well, I mean, it's just part of my musical, you know, the way I think about things. It wasn't specifically meant to be that. And I mean, there are, you know, there's one song that's very bluegrassy, Witness Protection. There's another one that's a straight rock song musically. You know, I grew up with a folk, you know, Dylan and the classic rock and the Tom Rush and the 60s folk group, and really influenced my music. So that's kind of how I think about stuff, and so that can turn into certainly something like Arkansas is a very sort of Western Western sounding song.
That one was the one I was kind of hearing in my head when I was asking the question. It definitely feels that way. And you got to work with some of your childhood musical influence too, right? With this a couple songs on this record.
Absolutely, boy, that was the biggest thrill for me. So Peter Yarrow of Peter Paul and Mary, it became a friend of mine through some of our joint political interests. Which is political in really being concerned about polarization and really, you know, trying to, some organizations that are really trying to figure out how to get people to, you know, not be so tribal, but more think about, you know, what's best for the country. So, and I mean, and it's kind of funny because Peter's, Peter's a very thoughtful left-wing guy. I mean, he's been that his whole career. And I'm probably a little more, I mean, I'm somewhat Republican, although somewhat centrist, not strongly Republican at this point, and I have supported Democrats in the past, so I've kind of been eclectic, let's put it that way. So, I mean, our political views are different. But we have really had a passion for the importance of people on the left and the right, or the red voters and the blue voters, just listening to each other and understanding each other. So from that common interest, I started talking to him. We were talking about music and things, and he liked the album, some of the songs he liked a lot, and he offered to sing on them.
Wow.
And we picked out a couple that we thought fit best, because we had the whole album done, so this happened.
Really
at the end of the process.
Yeah.
And his daughter, Bethany, is a fantastic singer. I've met know her sort of through the same circles as I knew Peter,
right?
And so she and Peter put harmony tracks on top for two of the songs.
I'm sure that had to be encouraging, at the least, to have someone of that musical stature be willing to participate in the project.
Yeah, I was. Let's say it made my day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What were you guys? Did you get to be in the studio together? Did he go in? Outside of some? Did you guys actually get to play together in any part of this?
No. Pre-COVID, we have spent time together, and we actually have goofed around together a little bit, playing on guitars, but. This was done during the COVID lockdown, so I had the whole record put together. I went to Nashville with Kip's to do the vocals, but we did all the instruments remotely, the guitar tracks and the drum tracks.
Right, okay.
And then Peter and Bethany recorded remotely from where they are, sheltering.
Well, what a treat, though. That's so cool. So, what is the album out yet?
It's available for pre-sale.
Okay.
It'll be out October 16th.
Okay. We're speaking early September, so in about a month and a half-ish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It's available October 16th. It is now available for pre-sale on all, you know, major sites, including, the easiest place to get it is to go to my website, jimstannardmusic.com.
And that's one N, right? STANARD
Music. Correct. Jim Stannard with one N, music.com. And you can pre-order. We have a contest where there are there's a drawing for a Taylor guitar.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Among the signed by Kip, me, and Peter.
Okay. Oh, neat.
For the anybody pre-orders gets put in a raffle there. And we have some signed CDs from me and Peter for the first, I forget how many, pre-orders. And we also then have one of the songs coming out as a single before the album, and I'm not exactly sure is the date of that. That song is Home, which is one that Peter sings on.
Oh, neat. Okay, yeah, I listened to that. I like that, too. That's. Will there be a video?
Yes. We've got four videos recorded.
Okay. That's fun.
Home being the first one. We also have one for, and as we release these as singles, we'll be releasing the videos. We have a video for Arkansas.
Okay. Very cool. Well, that's neat, Jim, and I'm glad that you did it again, and I'm guessing that maybe there'll be a third one sometime.
This takes a lot of effort to do this. But on the side, I'm starting my new batch of songs.
Yeah,
so
good.
That's going to take a while, given that how long I take to write them.
Yeah, well, every 2 years is not bad, so that's good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it. And again, the new record is Color Outside the Lines, and mid-October. People can pre-order on your website, and we certainly wish you well with it, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.